Okay, so we're on Daf Yud-Dalet tonight. So again, Aziz Vasileli has sponsored the Daf Yomis this week on the occasion of the yahrzeit of his grandfather. That's Shlomo ben Elisha, Zichrono Lebracha. So learning is the Luna Shama of Aziz Vasileli's grandfather, Shlomo ben Elisha, Zichrono Lebracha. Let me get some sheets out. Anyway, remember last night we spoke about the Mishnah says that there's somewhat ambiguous line in the Mishnah. It says "Brishus hanizak b'mazik," and it wasn't clear what the implication of the Mishnah is. If it's Brishus of both nizak and mazik, it's the one who's injured, and mazik is the one who's doing the injuring. So it wasn't clear if that clause is related to the previous clause or the clause that follows it. Again, the Mishnah says says v'chomach chutz me'rishunim yuchedet l'mazik. So if it's Rishonim Yuchad Lamazik, if it's a Mazik's Rishus, you're off the hook. In other words, it's own place. So he says, you know, should be here. And this is Rishud HaNizak Mazik. So if I put that clause, Rishud HaNizak Mazik, with the previous clause, it sounds like this is also Ptur if it's Rishus HaNizak Mazik. So we both have Rishus to be here. So then I'm off the hook. But the next clause is Kshehizik Kavamazik L'sham Tishlaminizak Meitavaretz. So if I put Rishon Nizak v'Mazik with the following clause, it sounds like I'm chayev. So we spoke about last night in Machloket. We had again. This was on Yud Gimel Beis 13b. So around 10 lines above, work out wide. So Rav Chisda said of Avimi, Chatzar Shufim Chayav Shein V'Laregel. Again, Shein V'Laregel, you're only chayev b'stei acher. So it says that it says, you know. If a person looks sure and it means he either tramples, he does regel, or he does shein, but it has to be stay acher. So stay acher doesn't mean just another field other than the mazik. It means it has to be the rishus of the nizak. In order to be chayev, it has to be the rishus of the nizak. Okay, just one second. As rishus of the nizak. So Rav Chisda learns that if it's rishus of nizak ramazik, that you're chayev. That also counts as stay acher. And Reb Lazar learns you're patur, if it's Rishus HaNizak B'Mazik. So it's going to turn on what Stei Acher is and how we define Stei Acher. But meanwhile, there's machloka between Reb Chisda and Reb Lazar, or Reb Chisda and Avimi and Reb Lazar. According to Reb Chisda in the name of Avimi, so the Chatzar Shutfim is Chayev, and according to Reb Lazar, Chatzar Shutfim is patur. Okay? So then we got up to around 6 lines from the top on Yudalit Amna Aleph 14a. So, Ini, is this true that Reb Lazar says you're patur? Ba'atani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef taught a brisa, chaser shutfim. Now, again, Avimi and Rav Chisda and Reb Lazar are both Amoraim. And this is Reb Lazar, it means Reb Lazar ben Pedad. He's the Amora. So they're both Amoraim. But now we have a brisa that seems to go against Reb Lazar. Ini, Ba'atani Rav Yosef, chaser shutfim ba'pundak, chayav bahen ala shein ve'ala regel. So it says, if it's chatzer shutfim, if it's a jointly owned, you know, chatzer, or he says, Ebaha pundak is an inn, and we'll explain it in a minute, but it means you don't have rishus to bring your ox there, but we'll explain. So that brisa seems to be on all fours against Reb Lazar. How was we were going to, so it's gifted to Reb Lazar. So Reb Lazar is a little upkishlof. Doesn't look good for him. So Amalach Reb Lazar, so Reb Lazar would say to you, but Tisbro, do you think that that's like that price is against me? But Mita Milopli, isn't there machloket prices and it was machloket tonight? So I'm going to hold like the following brisa, which is going to agree with me. Now we have to do the following brisa. It's a longer brisa, and we have to be patient with it. Okay? It says Vahatanya, we learn in the brisa Arba Akhalot, Ayah Reb Shimon Lazar, Omer Benizakin, that the Tana Reb Shimon Lazar would say four rules Benizakin. So Klalot means Klalim. He had four Klalim. By Nizakin. The first klal is kol shu shut l'nizak, a little mazik chayav b'kol. If it's reshut l'nizak, in other words, it's in other words, it's Reuven's shor going into Shimon's property and causing damage. So the reshus nazik is Shimon's property. Kol shu shut l'nizak, a little mazik. So it's the nizak's property and the mazik is going on there and causing damage. He's chayav b'kol. Now chayav b'kol, the Gemara is going to explain, and we don't know this yet. That just let us be patient and listen. Okay, so Karen is Tam and Muad. Karen is Chayav Chatzin Nezek, and if it's Tam and Nezek Shalom, it's Muad. So the Tana Reb Tarfon holds that if it's Karen in the Rishus LeNizak, then even the Tam is Chayav Nezek Shalom. So the Gemara is going to explain that Chayav Bakol means you're Chayav for the total damages, even if it's Karen, because that's Rishus LeNizak. So rule number one, Rishus LeNizak, the Nizak's in good shape, he gets full recovery. Okay? Then he says, back in the Gemara, he says, rule number two, the mazik v'lo l'nizak, if it's the mazik's rishus, in other words, it's Reuven's chatzer, and let's say Shimon brings the shore there, he says, patur mikol, that's my place, you've no business being here, so now I'm patur. That's rule number two, okay? Rule number three, l'zeh, if we think it means if they each have rishus to be in the chatzer, go in chatzer shutfim ba'bika, like a chatzer of partners, or bika is like open pasture land where everybody could bring their shore. Patur ba'al ha'shein ba'al ha'regel. So that we're going to treat like Rishus HaRabim. In other words, so in Rishus HaRabim, there's no hischaivus for shein ha'regel in Rishus HaRabim. So if Reuben brings his shore there and Shimon brings his shore and it's chatzer ha'shutfim, but we're saying chatzer ha'shutfim is like Rishus HaRabim, you're patur ba'al ha'shein ba'al ha'regel. So Reuven is patur for shein and for regel, that his shore, ate up, the other one's, garden patch, or he trampled some, bottles and things like that and destroyed it. He, Reuven, is patur because it's like Rishus HaRabim. Now that line is on all fours, supports Reb Lazar. So this b'risa supports Reb Lazar. But we have, what's again? They're partners in the field. Okay, now he says, now, but the b'risa is not done yet. We must be patient. Al HaNegicha, now he's talking about Karen. Now Karen is Chayiv in the Rishus HaRabim, right? Karen is Chayiv in the Rishus HaRabim. So Al HaNegicha is the Av, the Av of the Zikin, the Vigors. Be'al HaNegicha, these are the toldot which we had before. If the animal pushes someone, Be'al HaNeshicha, if he bites someone, Be'al HaRavitza, he plaxes down and causes damage. Be'al HaBe'itza, he kicks. So these are all Karen and totals of Karen. So Tam Mishalim Chatzin Nezek, Mu'am Mishalim Nezek Shalim. So then the Tam will do Chatzin Nezek and the Mu'am Nezek Shalim. That's the third halakha. And we have what we need already, but we're going into the Tzitzit with the Braisa. Lo Lazeh V'lo Lazeh, if neither one has Rishus to be there. Now the Gemara is going to discuss what this case means, but in the Hava Amina, which is not going to hold true, we could say it's not Reuven's Rishus, it's not Shimon's Rishus. In other words, it's Levi's Rishus. In other words, Reuven brings the shore to Levi's property, Shimon brings the shore to Levi's property, and Reuven's shore injures Shimon's shore. Say again, what's the. Yeah, but it, no, 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 it's not. Because case one was it's the chatzer of the Nizak. Case two, it's the chatzer of the Mazik. Here it's a third party, right? So it has to be stay out there. It has to be the Nizak's property, right? So he says here, but the Gemara's not going to stay with that pshat anyway. Lo lazeh v'lo lazeh, k'on chatzer she'eino shel shneihem, chayav bo al hashein v'al haregel. So you're chayav for shein v'regel, which we don't understand yet. He says, al hanagicha v'al hanashicha v'al hanagifa v'al ravitza v'al ravita. You're going to be chayav for everything. He says, tam mishalim chatzin nezek, mur mishalim nezek shalim. So that last case we'll discuss at the bottom of the amud. Okay, hold it in abeyance. But the last narrow line in the Gemara says, "Katani miat chatzer shufim abika patur bala shein bala regel." But the key line is, Reb Lazar said that if it's chatzer shufim, or he's explaining the Mishnah. Remember, the Mishnah said that if I have, if it's rishut anizak v'mazik is what Tana Mishnah referred to it. We weren't sure if that clause related to the previous line in the Mishnah to say that he's patur, or the later line says he's chayev, but Reb Lazar says he's patur. So, and we said we have a b'risa against Reb Lazar, but now we have a b'risa that supports Reb Lazar, so now he's in good shape. So the Gemara says, so kasha ahadadi. So the Gemara says the two b'risas seem to contradict one another. One b'risa says chayev, one b'risa says patur. So we could say that one b'risa is like Reb Lazar, one b'risa will be like Reb Chisda. That would be the simple shot. Say one, Amora follows one, and the other group follows the other. But the Gemara says, the Gemara now attempts to reconcile the two brises. Ki tanya hi, when we learned the last brisa, the chatzer miyuchet lezeh bein leperot bein leshvarim. I mean, the land, we could discriminate between chatzir shutvim. There are different types of chatzir shutvim. So in the second brayso, when it says patur, it talks about a situation where each one, Reuben and Shimon, both have a right to have peirot there. Let's say they're vegetable gardens they can have in the chatzir, and they both have a right to bring their shvarim there. They both have a right to bring the shor there. So b'meila, it's not stay acher, right? In other words, in turn, the zikin, in other words, if I bring my shor there, it's not stay acher, because I have a right to bring it there. So I'm patur. I heed the Rav Yosef, but the earlier brayso that said I'm chayiv if it's chatzir shutim, right? No,
No, the first
the one that we began today's daf with, 8 lines from the top, Tani Rav Yosef. I began today's daf with that. Okay. The said I'm chayiv. I heed the Rav Yosef, the second wide line, b'chatzir miyuchad of the shvarim. That's talking about a chatzir where they each can keep their vegetable patch there, but neither one is allowed to bring their shor there. So if he brings the shor there, he says the legabe shein havi lechatzar anizak. In terms of shein, so we view it as chatzar anizak. In other words, we view it as my private garden. In other words, if you bring your shor there, you have no right to bring the shor there.
Yes,
Okay, so no right to bring the shore there, and I have a right to run my vegetable patch there.
what
So,
happens?
right, both have the right, but your shore ate my vegetable patch. So that's
Yeah,
shame.
okay.
That's shame. Stay off air. So now you're chayiv for that. He says that's why the first price says you're chayiv. So then the way we explained it, there's really not a machloket between the prices. They're both talking about different situations. In other words, both prices will agree that if I have a right to bring my shore there and plant my vegetable patch there, then it's like Rishus HaRabim. But if I don't have a right to bring my shore there, and then I do have a right to be vegetable patch, then it's like Rishus HaNiza. So he says, Dekanami de Katani Hacha Dumi de Pundak, de Katani Hatam Dumi de Bika. So he says, we can make a careful reading of the brises will yield the same result. Because the first brise that we began 8 lines from the top of the Amud, Tani Rav Yosef Chaser Shutvin Baha Pundak. In other words, this is a situation, according to Rav Yosef, where he has no right to bring the shore there, right? That's the case of Rav Yosef, no right to bring the shore there. So it's making an equivalence between Chatzar Shutvin and Pundak. Chatzar Shutvin is the Chatzar that we share together. Pundak is if I come to an inn. In other words, so the inn, I'm not going to bring my shore into the inn, and it could be the courtyard there or whatever, but I'm not allowed to bring my shore into the inn. So if my shore does come into the inn, then I'm liable for damages that I've done. In other words, right, that's exactly right. Stay affair. The Katani Hatam in the second brisa, which was the one that quotes it. So it says, yeah, he's the Tana, but it says, let me get the line. He says, one second. Where is it? Yeah, Chatzar Shutfin, right. So 8 lines above where it gets wide in small Dalet. Chatzar Shutfin ba Bika. It's Chatzar Shutfin, and the Bika is like the pasture land. In other words, the Chatzar there is like a Bika. Everybody has a right to bring their animal in the Bika. Shmamina. So from there, I could deduce that what we said is a correct pshat, that indeed there's no machloka between the brises, but they're talking about a different situation with Chatzar Shutfin. There's Chatzar Shutfin where I have a right to bring my shor there and to plant there, in which case it's like Rishus HaRabim, and there's a Chatzar Shutfin, I don't have a right to bring my shor there, and then I do bring my shor, and it damages somebody's vegetable patch, so then I'm chayav, then stay out there. So Shmamina. So now I just want to get to the Tudas, and we'll pause. The fourth wide line. Now, Reb Zera is asking on this. So, in the case that we said that there that I'm chayiv, which was Reb Yosef's brisa, right? So he wants to say it should be stay acher. In other words, the question is, what is stay acher? So we assume if I don't have a right to bring my shore there, and I do have a right to grow vegetable patches, and then Reuben brings the shore there, that's the affair. He's questioning that. He says, even though it's miuchet of the payroll, but you need stay acher means, it's my field, and I can bring my shore there. And there was the Nisach shore, the Lekka. Amar le Abaye, So Abai explains, no, that's what it means. In other words, since I can't bring my shore there, everybody has a right to have their vegetable patch. That does count as stay-out there. So he says, once you've come to this idea that there's no machloka between the brises, you're just talking about different cases, and everything's the same. So amarai nami lo pligi. Why do we even have to say there's a machloka between Avimi, Rav Chista, the name of Avimi, and Rav Lazar? Rav Chista in yesterday's daf, and I began in today's daf, Rav Chista of Avimi says, chaser shutvim is chayev ba, ala shein vila regel. And Rav Lazar says, you're patur for shein vila regel, chaser shutvim. Why can't we say they're each talking about a different type of chaser? That indeed, Avimi says, chayev, it's talking about a case where I'm not allowed to bring mishvarim there, but I could plant. Then somebody brings a shore, some chayev. And Rav Lazar is holding about a case where I could bring my shore there, I can bring my vegetable patch, and I'm patur. Then there is no machloket for anything. So Amar lay in. He says, you're right. There's no reason to even say we have a machloket between Rav Chista and Rav Lazar. But if you want to say that there is a machloket between Rav Chista and Rav Lazar, so the point of dispute would be gufa, this case, where, in other words, would be if I have a chatzir where you're not allowed to bring a shore there, and I could plant, you know, vegetables there, so do I view that as stay acher or not? So Abai says we do view it as stay acher, so that would be Rav Chissa's halakha. In other words, it could be they're both talking about that narrow case, the narrow case. The narrow case where I can have my produce but not my shore, in which case Rav Chissa says chayev, and that's like a baye, and Rav Lazar says patur, and that would be like the way Rav Zera asked. Okay, so that's that piece. Now we're going to pause. We'll take a breathe. Let's just review, and we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. So we said in the Mishnah on Daf Tet referred to Rishut and Nizak Bamazik, and it wasn't clear, is the title of the Mishnah saying that you're chayev in Rishut and Nizak Bamazik, or your patron, Rosh Hashanah, Nizek B'mazik. And then we had, Rav Chissa said that you're chayev, Rosh Hashanah, Nizek B'mazik, and Rav Lazar says you're patur. So they each learned the Mishnah differently. In other words, one learned that clause about Rosh Hashanah, Nizek B'mazik connects to the end of the Mishnah, which says, Shehizik Chavamazik, that he's liable, so that's like Rav Chissa. And the other one learned, no, the clause goes to the earlier clause that you're patur, just like in Rosh Hashanah, Mazik, you're patur, so too Rosh Hashanah, Nizek B'mazik. So then the Gemara asked questions from Bryces, and we seemed like one Bryce was like Rav Chista, another Bryce was like Rav Lazar. And then the Gemara says, we don't have to say this machlok between the Bryces, because we can say they're talking about different types of chatzir shutvim. If I have a chatzir where I'm not allowed to bring my shore there, but I get my vegetable patch, and then my partner brings the shore there, then that's bier b'stei acher, then he is chayiv. If, on the other hand, he can bring his shore there and he does, so that's like Rishus Arabim, and he's patur. So the one brisa that says patur could be that way, and the other one the other way. So the Gemara says, once I say that, so that could be Gufa what Rav Chissa and Rav Lazar are saying. There's no machloka between them. They're each talking about a different case. But if you do want to say there is a machloka between Rav Chissa and Rav Lazar, then we could say that the point of machloka is Gufa on the situation where a person has Rishus, where he can't bring a shore there, and he can't have vegetable patches, do we view that as stayachir or not? And if I view it as stayachir, I'm chayiv, and that's like Rav Chista, and that's like Abaye. If I don't, that's like Rav Zera's question, and that would be like the second Bryce. Okay, who's your questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far? Okay, let's go on. All right, so now we're around 10 lines down in the wide lines on your Dalet Amud Aleph. Everybody with me? Okay. So Gufa, earlier we quoted the Braisa, Arba'a Klaloria, Rav Shimon Elazar Omer. What is this Klaloria? It means like we would say Klalim. There are four rules that Rav Shimon Elazar said. B'nizakin. Kol shuhu reshut l'nizak below the mazik, chayav b'kol. So the first category, or the first klal he had, if it's reshut l'nizak below the mazik, in other words, it's Shimon's, you know, property, and Reuben brings the shore there, Reuben's going to be chayav, but chayav b'kol. So al hakol lo katani doesn't say that he's going to be chayav for all types of damages. He says el chayav bakol b'kuli nezek. It means for the entire nezek that it does. In other words, he's going to be liable 100% damages. And he's going to say, because we know normally in Karen, if it's a tam, it's chatzi nezek and it's mu'a nezek shalem. So, but here it's going to be, no, it's going to be, even if it's a tam, it's going to be nezek shalem. So, Mani, according to whom does this brisa go? Rabbi Tarfon he. This brisa goes like the Tana Rabbi Tarfon that you're going to have, I think, looks like more tomorrow. The Amar Mishuna Karen b'chatzera nizak nizik shalim. Mishuna Karen means Karen when it's a tam is called Mishuna Karen. It's abnormal because you're not high at full damages. But b'chatzera nizak nizik shalim. Rabbi Tarfon holds that Karen in the Rishus HaRabim, if it's tam, it's chasi nezek, and if it's muad, it's nezek shalim. But the Tan Rabbi Tarfon holds Karen versus Anizak is chayiv nezek shalim, even if it's a tam. So that's what the Brisa is saying, that you're chayiv bakol. If it's versus Anizak, you're chayiv for the whole damages, even if it's a short tam. Okay, that's the way we think the Brisa is going, like Rabbi Tarfon. So Ema Seifa, let's go to the end of that Brisa that we just did above. Lola Zev, Lola Zev, we're like going to a later case. If this was the last case in the Brisa, or the fourth case, Lola Zev, Lola Zev, and this is the one that I said we have to wait. Now we're going to get it. And what? Yeah, but that's not going to be the way it's going to be. Lola Zev, Lola Zev, he says, if it's neither one's property, that's what we think. Like you're saying, like Levi, you go on Chatzir Shneim, Chayav Regel. My Lola Zev, Lola Zev. What does that term mean, Lola Zev, Lola Zev? If I'll say it's not Reuben's property, it's not Shimon's property, it's Levi's property. That's one possibility. He says, but that would not be. The Pasuk says for liability, it has to be Ubi'er b'steacher. Steacher doesn't mean another property, it means in the Nizak's property. Right. So that wouldn't be the Nizak's property. So that can't be the Pshat. He says, "Ela pshita lo lazeh lo lazeh ela dechad." So it must be that the Tana of the Brisa says "lo lazeh lo lazeh" means it's the rishus of the nizak. It's one of them. It's the rishus of the nizak, and then there's going to be his chayvus. Now the Gemara is going to ask, and we had that case earlier, but that's the case. Rishus of the nizak, the katani seifa tam mishalim chatzin nezek, and the Brisa says that the tam is going to be chatzin nezek, and the muad is going to be nezek shalim. If you look earlier in the Brisa, again, 5 lines above where it got wide, it said Lola Zev Lola Zev, Kion Chasir Sheno, and then it says Yerchayev, and then it says 2 lines before it gets wide, Tam Mishalim Chatzin Nezek, Mu Mishalim Nezek Shalim. So here, Reuven, the way we explain it, Reuven's shore is doing damage in Shimon's property, the Nizak's property, and yet the Tana says that a Tam, if it's Karen, is going to pay Chatzin Nezek. And that's not like Rebbe Tarfon, right? The early first case, we said Chayav HaKol, right? The first case in the Brisa said it's Rishus HaNizak, you're Chayav HaKol. You're going to be online for the whole thing, 100%. And yet the last case says, which we said is Rishus HaNizak, and it's going to be Tam is Chatzin Nezek. So back in the Gemara, so he says, 1 second. So 5 lines on the bottom. It says Atan Rabbanan the Amri Mishuna Karen b'Chatzer Nizak Chazin Nezek b'Mishalim. So then that would mean that's got to be like the sheet of the Chachamim who are Mechulak with Rabbi Tarfon and hold that the Karen Yerchayev Chayev Chazin Nezek even Rishus HaNizak. So the Gemara says Reisha Rabbi Tarfon the Sefer Rabbanan. You mean the beginning of the Brisa is going to reflect the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon and the end of the Brisa is going to reflect the opinion of the Chachamim, which sounds very unusual to think that a Brisa would be that way. Yeah. The Ha'amar LeShmuel Rabbi Yehuda. Because Shmuel says to Rabbi Yehuda, and I think this is on tomorrow's daf, Shmuel says to Rabbi Yehuda about the Mishnah over there, Shinina, a sharp one, that's the way that Shmuel would refer it to Rabbi Yehuda. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda was the Talmid of Rab, and when Rab died, he went to study by Shmuel, he called him Shinina, a sharp one. Shvok matnitin, v'tah abat troy. In other words, stop trying to say the Mishnah is one Shita, follow my lead, and say that one part of the Mishnah is going to be Lech Chachamim, one part is going to be Rabbi Tarfon. Reish Rabbi Tarfon, the Sefer Rabbanan. The Reish Rabbi Tarfon, the Sefer Rabbanan. So we could say the same thing here in the Brisa, that the beginning of the Brisa is reflecting the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon, and the Sefer is reflecting the opinion of the Chachamim. The Sefer is Lola Zev, Lola Zev. Remember, we said it's not a third party. We said it can't be a third party because there'd be no liability. So it's got to be the Nizak. And yet it says Thomas Mishalim Chatzin Nezek. And that's the Chachamim. But the first case we said is Mishalim Kol. That's Rabbi Tarfon. So the Gemara says, okay, so that's one answer. Now, 4 lines from the bottom. Rabina Mishmei de Rava Amar, Kula Rabbi Tarfoni. So now a different answer. Ravina says in Rava that the whole Braisa reflects the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon. Umay lo lazeh v'lo lazeh, what does it mean that it's Rishus lo lazeh v'lo lazeh? Lo lazeh v'lo lazeh l'peirot means eladachad. Lazeh l'shvarim means like this, that it is a chatzar shuknim, but it's like one of these unusual deals. It means only one of them has a right to plant peirot there. This is the deal they have with the chatzar. Only, let's say, Reuben and Shimon, but only Shimon can plant peirot there. But lazeh l'shvarim, but they each can bring their shor there. They each can bring their shor there. So he says, l'gabi shein, habi l'chatzar anizak. He says, vis-a-vis shein, it's chatzar anizak, because I'm the only one who, well, I'm the only one who can plant peirot here. Nobody else can plant peirot, so it's my yard. You can, that's the tricky thing. You can bring your shore there, but it's my yard. This is Lagabi Karen, Rabim. But vis-a-vis Karen, it's we consider Rishus Rabim. So the here he's saying that if either one could bring the shore there, it's Rishus Rabim, but just for Karen. But for Shane, it's my property. In other words, I'm the only one who could plant vegetables here. So that's the way the Gemara is treating it. Now, ihachi, let me just get to the sugya, then we'll come back to you, okay? So ihachi, so if that's the case, that the whole Braisa reflects the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon, so he says, arba'ah shloshahavu. The Braisa says that there are arba'ah klalot Yerushim Elazar Meir. There were four klalim that Rishon Elazar would say, and we had four cases. But if you're going to say this last case is also Rabbi Tarfon, so the last case, I know it from the previous three cases. What are the previous three cases? Either it's Chatzar Nizak, it's Chatzar Mazik, or it's Rishus HaRabim. So if I, pull from each one, I can arrive at the conclusion with the fourth one. It's not four klalim, it's really three klalim. He says, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, turn page, top line on the base, Shloshah Klalot Ba'arba Mekomot. You're right, there really are three klalim, but there are four Mekomot, because I can have one type of Chatzar Shufim where only one person has a right to put vegetables and both have a right to bring their Shfarim there. And then I can have another type of Chatzar Shufim where everybody has a right to bring the shore and everybody has a right to plant vegetables. So you're right, there's three klalim, but there's different cases. Okay, now let me get with you. Now, so again, we had with the Chatzar Shufim, we had a couple of different types. So we have one type where nobody's allowed to bring the shore there and everybody can plant vegetable patches, right? Then that we said is definitely stay out there. Right, and if you bring my shore, you have no right to bring my shore there. So we're going to view that as stay acher, even though you have a right to plant vegetables there. We're going to view it as stay acher. Okay, then we have the other type where everybody can bring the shore, everybody can plant vegetables. That's definitely Rishus HaRabim. Now the Gemara mentions this third type where only one can plant vegetables, both can bring the shore. So the Gemara is saying this is a hybrid case. The Gemara is saying in terms of Shane. In terms of the chain, it's stay acher. But in terms of Karen, it's Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. It's Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. Okay, now, this, one second.
Karen gets you fascinated.
Right, one second. Right, now, one second. Let me have this here, one second. Yeah, he has a blurb here. This is at the end of footnote 36. Although the Gemara above stated that where the Mazik is allowed to bring his animal into the yard, it is not considered the field of another. In other words, if I could bring my shore there, it's not stay affair. That said, this is only a case where both have use of the yard for produce. So in other words, if we both plant vegetables, we both bring our shvarim, so it's not stay affair. But where only the damaged party can use it for produce, it is considered stay affair with regard to shein or regal damage. Even though the Mazik is allowed to bring his ox there, so he quotes Pnei Yeshua an explanation to Rashi. Then he says, compare Tosfos who questions the explanation. But all right, that's what we got. Okay, now, who's your questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? Yeah, that's a given. It's Rishus HaNizak. Everybody agrees. No, nobody says. Stay out there is Rishus HaNizak. Okay, any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, let's go on. Okay, now we're on the Mishnah on Yud Dalet Amud Beis, 14b in the Mishnah. And this Mishnah is like very Right, that's the word that Rabbi Leibowitz used, cryptic. In other words, it's like a puzzle. It's right. He's got the words here, words there, there. And the Gemara is going to talk. What does the Mishnah mean? But it's like you wouldn't understand what the Mishnah means. It's just like it's phrases. But we'll do the best we can, and we'll take it down. Manitin. Okay, so manitin. I like it when you speak Yiddish. Now it says manitin. Shum kesef. Now shum kesef. The Gemara is going to explain. Well, I'll tell you the maskana of the Gemara. It's going to mean that the Beis Din will evaluate damages in terms of dollar amounts. The Beis Din is going to evaluate damages in terms of dollar amounts. But the way the Gemara is going to have the case, and this is the way Rav Kahati explains it, we'll see in the end of the Gemara. Let's say my para damaged somebody else's garment, talus. In other words, my para went on somebody else's rishus and stomped his garment. And caused damage to the garment. Then let's say that person whose garment was damaged took the garment, put it in the Rishus HaRabim, and then my para slipped and fell on the garment and injured himself. Yeah, the same garment. Let's say the case. So they each suffered damage. So I'm not going to say that, we'll swap. You keep the para, I keep the garment. In other words, the Bez is going to make an evaluation of. All right, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see the money gap. Okay, that's Shema Kesef. Then Shava Kesef, it's going to come out is that if there are Yitomim, the Baal Chov can collect from the real property of Yitomim. In other words, if Yitomim, inherit real property, so a creditor can collect from the real property that they. Right. Okay. That's good. Okay. Then Bifnei Bezdin or Bifnei Beitin is going to mean that if to collect knas, I have to have a Beitin of Mumchim. It was a Beitin of like smicha going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay. He says the Alpi Edim Bnei Chorin Bnei Brit. In other words, you have to establish evidence with Edim who are Bnei Chorin, who are free people, not Avadim. Not Evident Kanim and B'nai Brit. It has to be Jewish people, not non-Jewish people. V'hanashim b'chlal hanezek. Women are subject to the same dinim of nezikin as men. In other words, if a woman is mazik or a woman is a nizak, she's got the same dinim. So Rabbi Leibowitz was saying that, B'nai Brit normally means men, not women, and by Eidos, B'nai Brit means only men or Eidos. Right, and it was like we just said that so B'nai Brit, so he's saying, but when it comes to Nezikin, women have the same dinim. V'hanizak v'mazik b'tashlumin. It's going to be, you'll get this another day. It means that both the Nizak and the Mazik are going to sort of participate in the tashlumin. In other words, the Nizak, might have to, give in some for let's say it's Karen, right? So it's only chatzi nezek. So the nizek and the mazik are going to contribute to the compensation. All right, but we'll see. All right, now the Gemara says we're going to take phrase by phrase. So the first phrase was shumah kesef. So my shumah kesef. Am Rabbi Yehuda shum ze lo yehei el kesef. But the evaluation that the appraisal that the Beis Din does will be quantified into money. So Tanina lahad Tana Rabbanan. We learned from the Mishnah that which the Chachamim elaborate on in the following brisa. Parashi zika talit. If a cow damaged a talit, the talit shezika para. Now there's a whole tumult between Rashi and Tosfos whether this is like the same case. In other words, does it mean in the same instant that the para damaged the talis also damaged the para? In other words, it could be parashi zika talit is one case, and talashi zika para is another case, or it could be in the same incident. Right, parashi zika talit talashi zika para. But the difficulty with that is, see, parashi zika talit would have to be the chatzar of the nizak, because that's going to be regel, and regel is only chayiv in the chatzar of the nizak, and then talashi zika para is going to be that the para slipped and fell on the talit. And that would be like boar and Rishus HaRabim. No. Let's go back. Parash. Oh, the Parash is Zika Talit. Okay. And oh, oh, oh. Oh, so you want to say the para did the damage, mean by goring the talus? All right, this I don't know. And talus is ika para. All right, anyway, in omrim te se para batali. We don't say, for your damaged talus, you'll take the para, batali the para, or vice versa. He says, Ela shamino tabadam, we're going to battle with money. Now, let's look at Rashi and a little bit Tosos with this. So the Rashi around the eighth narrow line, Parashazika Talit. So Rashi says, Shidrasala Bakatsar Nizak. So Rashi says Bafurash that the para trampled over the talus in the Khatsar Nizak. Vitalit Shizika Para Bershidarabim, Nochinit Club Bahima Vitalit, Benishbar Regel Para. It tripped on the talus and then broke its leg. Those will be the case the way Rashi has it. Now,
Find the same case.
no, different cases. But then, if you look at Tosfos, though, Parashzika Tav, Tashzika Para, Pisha Kuntras, Shezikud Zed Zed. He says, Veshamanez Bekesef. So from Tosfos, it sounds like that it was like one case, is the way that's the way I sort of explained. Shezikud Zed Zed. In other words, that they're doing damage to each other. But it's a little bit hard to fit in. Anyway, but the point would be, though, that, if it's, when it's a short time, and it's Karen, so the animal you collect it from the animal itself, maybe something like that. But all right, that's the shot in the Mishnah. Okay, now the next case.
You each one separate.
Each one is evaluated by the best in terms of money. We don't say you're going to get the item. In other words, the item that damaged you, you keep that, and that'll be in satisfaction of the. Yeah. So I think he means like he says. One second. All right, let me see what he said. What's that? Okay. Yeah, so in quotes here in footnote 4, see the restaurant we ask why it would be necessary to mention Bryce and teach this. There's only a case of Karen Tom, the one collects the UFO, the body of the damaging animal, not in the case of other types of damage. Moreover, even in the case of Tom, one collects only the amount of damage, not the entire ox. See also Tosin with the Yosef. So we shouldn't deal with it. I don't have an answer. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Now, Shava Kesef. So Shava Kesef, I said, is when the Baal Chov can collect from the Yitomim, the real property. We don't know this. Shava Kesef, the Tamar Rabbanan, Shava Kesef, Melamechein Beitin is Kakin, and Sheish Machrayat. So the Braisa says, when it says Shava Kesef, it teaches us that a Bezdin is only going to get involved with like real property. Avalim Kadam Nizak, Metafas Metalflim, but if the Nizak like preempted and grabbed Metalflim of the Mazik, Beitin Govan Lomahem. So the Bezdin will say, you can keep it, something like that. So now the Gemara is going
Pay with new property.
right, that's what we think. We'll see. All right, so let us be patient. Let's be patient. So the Gemara says, Amar Mar, Shava Kesem, Leitchein, Beitin, Kakel, My Mashma. So how do you see from those words of Shava Kesef that Bezdin is only going to collect from real property? Amar Rabba Bar Ula, Davar Shava, Kol Kesef. So Rabba Bar Ula says, because Shava Kesef is Davar HaShava, Kol Kesef, he means that it's worth whatever people pay for it. He said, means that there's ain't ona l'karkaot. In other words, there's no ona is if I overcharge, there's ona, and then I have to sometimes return the money or undo the transaction. But there's no din of ona by karkaot. So Shava Kesef is a code for karka because it's worth whatever I pay for it. So the Gemara says, mind you, Devarsha ain't ona. So, being something's not subject to ona would be Shava Kesef. So the Gemara says, Avadim Shtarot Nami in Lehem Ona. But the Gemara says, but Avadim is an Eved Kanani, and Shtarot also don't have ona. So Rashi says, so he says, let's see. So the Gemara says, so, but you're just saying it's Karka. Elam Rabba Bar Ula, Devar Nikneh B'Kesef. So he says, no, it means that which is acquired through kesef. I do the kinyan with kesef, meaning I do karka, I acquire karka with kesef. So the Gemara says, abadim shtar, not meaning nitim with kesef, but an ebed and shtar, shtar means like commercial paper, can also be acquired with kesef. We're trying to figure out what does the term shava kesef mean? Ela amaravashi, shava kesef below kesef. That it's shava kesef below kesef means karkaot. In other words, that you're going to pay the shava kesef. You're going to pay the shava kesef and not the kesef. So the Gemara says, vahani kulu kesef minu, means the other items I could lift, I can move, I could take here or there, and they could substitute for kesef. They'd be shava kesef. But karka is, in other words, does that like that is like kesef. But karka is just shava kesef. In other words, right. So, 1 second. Yeah, if you look at Rashi, 8 lines above where it gets wide, Elam Rabashi, shava kesef, tanikur ka, v'hati mashma, shava kesef yishalem below kesef atzmo, v'ani kulum tavlam v'abadim u'shtar kesef ninu, the matzi lam tuginu mimata lamata mizdamne. In other words, the other things I can carry with me or transport with me and use it as kesef. In other words, abadim, starod, all other items I can use like kesef. Kesef I put in my pocket and I take it, and all other items so I can also take with me and use it as kesef. But the karka is shava kesef. Only with, when the Tanna refers to shava kesef, it means karka, because I can't use karka like we would use kesef. So the Gemara says, so Rami, now we're around 15 lines from the bottom. So Rami lay Rabbi Yehuda bar Chinna le Rabbi Huna b'Rei Yeshua. So Rabbi Yehuda bar Chinna posed the following question: Rabbi Huna b'Rei Yeshua, Tana shava kesef leit she'ein beitin zkakim lechasem sheish lechrayim. So in one price we learn shava kesef went through a whole arichas that it means karka. So, and the Bryce says it means the business is only going to be involved with like assigning the payment through karka. But Hatanya, this is your question. We learned another Bryce, which we had earlier, Yashiv. It says by the boar, Kesef Yashiv Labalav, revote Shava Kesef, if he was Subin, then you can even pay with Bran. So the Gemara says, Hakabay Askinan, what are we dealing with in the first Bryce and in our Mishnah when we say it's only going to be karka, the Yatme? We're dealing with Yatomim. So the Mishnah, it's again, it's like a short, kind of coded Mishnah. When the Mishnah says Shava Kesef, we're only going to be involved with Karka, and Karka is called Shava Kesef. We're talking about where we're trying to collect from Yatomim, from orphans. Ibiatme Eima Seifa. So if the first Brisa is talking about Yatomim, let's go to the Seifa of that Brisa. In Kadam Nizak Batafas Metaltalin, if the Nizak, you know, preempted and grabbed Metaltalim, Beitin Govin Lomehem. The Bezdin says that he can keep it. Ibiatme Amai Beitin Govin Lomehem. Now, if we're talking about Yatomim, which is what we said, now the idea is, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says at the last narrow line, Biatme, Ka'imrinan di Shabaklu Abun Hamazik Mikarkoi Gabi Minayu. If the father left Karka, so the creditor can collect from it. But Matantle Lo, they're not Matantlim, to Matantle Yatme Lo Mishtabni the Balko, they're not subordinated to the claims of the Balko, the Ikalamimar La Karmitanabi and Kanaum, because I have to be Koshesh. That maybe the Yatomim acquired it after the death of the father, and it's got nothing to do with the claims against the father.
Yeah.
Right. So how could it be the earlier Brisa, and by extension our Mishnah, but how can we say something about Yatomim? The earlier Brisa said that about Kadam Niza Vitavas Metalim, they didn't go over them again. So Kita Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, Shetafas Mechayim. So like Rava said Rav Nachman in a different sugya, that the creditor had seized it when the decedent was still alive. Meaning, if he, during the lifetime of the debtor, he had seized these metaltlim, and now the debtor dies, so the Bezdin could say, fine, leave it, you know, in other words, you're good at that point. You understand what I'm saying?
This guy took it when the father was alive.
Right.
And
then the father died. And now he comes to Bezdin, and
he sees property
so or metal. He, you know, he sees metal during the life of the debtor, and but it was without the Rishus of Bezdin. It sounds like so. It could be. I don't know. Maybe he means that the debt included more than the metal. Maybe he wants to take karka as well. But the Bezdin could say, well, the metal you can keep. That's in satisfaction of the debt. But the karka is only if the karka will. Only to do it that way. Okay. All right. All right, that's that piece. Okay? All right, now I'm going to do further. Okay? All right. All right, now we're 8 lines from the bottom. Now, the next phrase in the Mishnah is Bifnei Beitin, in the presence of Beitin, Prat Lamocha Nechasa, Lebeitin. So the Gemara says, we think it excludes the case where the debtor sells his property and then comes to Bezdin. Shmamina Lavam, Bechar and Govin. That sounds like, it's in other words, that we think sounds like that if a debtor sells his property and comes to Bezdin, the Bezdin's not going to collect on the property. But that's not the case because the property is Meshuvah to the Chov. In other words, if Reuven lends Shimon $1 million and Shimon takes the property and sells off all the property, and then he comes to the Bezdin, so we thought it sounds like we're saying it's Dafka Bifnei Bezdin. In other words, if Bifnei Bezdin, it means that he has to have the property, but that would exclude the case where the debtor sold off the property. But the Gemara says, you mean that if I borrow money and I sell it off, the Bezdin's not going to collect from it? They will collect from it.
You bought $1 million from me.
Right. And then I had the Ponderosa. I sold the Ponderosa.
You with a lien on that property.
You, the creditor, had a lien on the property. And I sold it.
What the
And now we come to the, but we think the Mishnah is saying that you can't go after it, but you can go after it. So the Gemara says, he says, Ella prat lebeitin hedyotot. What the Tana Mishnah means that we're excluding a beitin of hedyotot. Because I can go to Bezdin to adjudicate matters. But if the matter that I'm trying to adjudicate involves a knas, or apparently something out of the ordinary, so the Bezdin doesn't have jurisdiction if it's a Beit Din of Hedyotot. Hedyotot means that they didn't get smicha going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what it means. So it's a Beit Din, that's all we have today, a Beit Din of Hedyotot. So a Beit Din of Hedyotot, there are certain things they can't adjudicate. Let's take a look back on the Gemara. Ella, 3 lines from the bottom in Rashi. Ella hachi atmanit, the Beit Din mumchin dani dini knasot. Hedyotot, and not Hedyotot. So when the Mishnah says, if they bait in, if I'm seeking Kanas, or I'm seeking something out of the ordinary, then I need if they bait in, I need a Bezdin and Mumkin of people who have Smicha going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. All right, let me do a little piece here, and then we'll go further in the Gemara. Okay, the Mishnah states that damages are only paid if the obligation was declared in Bezdin. Gemara explains that the Mishnah means to teach that only a Bezdin of experts, Mumkin, has the ability to obligate a person to pay a fine, knas, but a person comprised of a non-expert does not have the authority to obligate someone to pay a fine. This is bumka. I mean, I think he means that he's sneaker. Let's say, hold on, let's say, let's say.
Non-ordained.
Yeah, right. Yeah, sneaker. Okay. So he says, so he says, the Shulchan Aruch elaborates on the different categories of fines that our Bati Dinim may not collect since we are non-experts. So today, the Bati Dinim can't impose Knas. In other words, like even whatever the Knas would be, like let's say Lui Yetzur, you'd have a Geneva case, so the Bezdin can't assign Kefil or anything like that. Now, one case that's mentioned is one animal that gores to another animal. So the reason he's saying that the Bezdin can't adjudicate Shurish Nagashor, the reason the Bezdin will not obligate the owner of an animal that gores another animal is that we, non-experts, we obligate people to pay for damage that commonly occur is an uncommon occurrence for one animal to gore another. So now the Piskei Teshuva cites the Shus Yaakov, who discusses where the Bati Din nowadays can obligate a person for damages caused by fire or pit, ash, and boar. Shus Yaakov cites authorities maintain that Bati Din have the authority to obligate people for damages that caused by an ash or a boar, but notes there are some Rishonim who express uncertainty whether Bati Din can obligate a person to pay for damages caused by ash or boar. Due to this uncertainty, the Yamshel Shlomo ruled that Bati Din cannot obligate a person to pay for damages caused by fire or a pit. Shus Yaakov disagrees with this ruling and cites the ruling of the Kabbalah Yair, where he obligated a person to pay for damages that were caused by fire. Piskei Teshuva notes that Ksosa Choshen and Shaar HaMishpat agree with Shus Yaakov's ruling, and even Rabbi Akiva Eiger, who challenges Shus Yaakov, only disagrees with the proof, but agrees with his ruling. So the Shvus Yaakov, he says that they do have the authority to do that. They do have the authority to do that. All right, let's see back on the Gemara. All right, now Okay, 5 lines to the bottom. Okay, al pi edim. So then the next phrase in the Mishnah is al pi edim. You have to have witnesses. Prat lamod b'knas v'acharkach bo edim shu patur. So the Gemara thinks what the Mishnah is alluding to is the mode of a knas. In other words, let's say I admit a case with a knas, and then the edim come, I'm patur on the knas. So hanich lamad demar mode of a knas v'acharkach bo edim patur. In other words, when the Mishnah says al pi edim, but it's saying that in other words, if it's something that I admitted to, I'm going to be patur. So it's talking about knas. So if I'm mode of the knas, I'm patur, and then so I'll be off the hook. So according to the opinion that holds that that's the case, that's right. Elamam demar mode of knas v'acharkach bo'edim chayav ma'ik l'neimar. But there's another opinion that mode of knas, and then the edim come, I'm chayav. Now I'm chayav the knas. In other words, if the edim, in other words, mode of knas is patur. But if according to one opinion, if the edim then show up, I'm on the hook. In other words, it's nice on a mode of knas. No other evidence. A mode of knas, I'm patur. But so according to one opinion, then even if Adam show up, still patur. But according to another opinion, if Adam didn't show up, so then kiss their tits, right, kiss your confession goodbye, and now you're chayav. So what am I going to say in that case? So Sefer Itzri Klai. So the Gemara says, according to that opinion, the expression al pi Adam is just preparatory to the next phrase. It says b'nei chor nu b'nei brit. In other words, that you're going to prove your case with Adam, but the Adam have to be b'nei chor nu b'nei brit. They have to be free people, not ever obligated Kananim, and they have to be any Brit. They have to be Jews, not non-Jews. Any case that you have for any case that you want to collect damages, you have to have Adam. So he says here, B'nei Chorin, Lemiyutei Avadim. So B'nei Chorin is say, Avadim can't be Adam. B'nei Brit, Lemiyutei Obdei Kochavim. And say, not non-Jews. Utsricha was necessary for the Tana to mention both those cases. The Yashmin and Eved, if the Tana have only taught me, then Eved is excluded from Eidos. He says, Mishum de ein lo yachas. I'd say he's excluded because he has no like genealogy. In other words, like tracing the father's family. If you look at Rashi, the top line of Rashi, it says, Eved ein lo yachas. The Amrina b'perek abal yivimto. I call modim be'eved shein lo yachas. He dechiv ima chamor ama domin lechamor. So it says by the Akedah, Avraham Avinu says to Shvolachem po ima chamor. He says it to Eliezer and I think Yishmael. So he says, "I'm a domin lechamor." In other words, like the non-Jew. Eliezer is certainly Eved Kenani, and then Yishmael is not an Eved, but I guess he's treating him like a non-Jew. He says, or not like a non-Jew. I don't. He must be talking about Eliezer. I don't know about the about Yishmael. He says, "So I'm a domin lechamor." So back in the Gemara, he says, Abal Nachri, the Yeshu Yachas, but a Goy does have Yichus. Not, in other words, Eved Kenani in halakhic purposes doesn't have any, like genealogy, but a non-Jew does. He says, if you look in Rashi, Nachri Yeshu Yachas, Kidmefarshatam, Dechiv Hadar Rimon, Ben Tav Rimon, Ben Chizayon. So the Goyim do have it. Eimelo. So I would say that the Goy could testify. And then back in the Gemara, Yashmin and Nachri, if you only told me the Nachri can't testify, Mishum lo shach mitzvot. There's no kesher mitzvot. About Eved, shach mitzvot, ain't alone. But an Eved that does have mitzvot like a woman, says Tzricha. All right, let me just take a look about the thing with Eliezer. One second. 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 I'm sorry to bother you. Good. Okay, I just want to take a look at what she said. So he says, oh, so he doesn't. Let's see. Right, one second.
Very short
Oh
now.
yeah, right. Rashi says Yishmael but I did but the Shulachem, I don't know, it can't be talking about Yishmael, must be talking about just Eliezer, I don't know. Okay, now let me just do one quick story. Or right, wait, I don't think we have time for a quick story. So we're gonna end it up now. Okay, one second. Let me nice seeing you 1 second. 1 second.